All right, everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Five Hole Fantasy Hockey Taxi Squad podcast. Today is Tuesday, March 26th, and we are back with your Week 24 weekend preview. So as Craig always says, let's start up those fares and get into it. Welcome to the pod, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for listening. My name is Jay, and I'm here tonight with Alan, keeping the van cab warm in Craig and Maddie K's absence. Alan, how are you doing tonight?
Dude, just biting my nails, watching all these games unfold for the week, hoping all those Buffalo guys I hoarded on my bye pay off for me.
Yeah, I think Buffalo is really the team to hold in terms of off nights. It's a really slim pick. It's slim pickings this week in week 24.
Dude, slim pickings would be an improvement.
Yeah, indeed. One game on Friday, one game on Sunday. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you, listener. It'll be definitely one where you hope to God your stars came through and hope to God your stalwarts come strong, because, yeah, it's going to be hard to save you if your season needs the wire at this critical week 24 junction. But anywho, let's start, as we always do, in the infirmary. And Alan, you want to start us off with our injury report?
So Aiden Hill left Saturday's game and is day-to-day out, whatever you want to call it, and is currently not traveling on the team's four-game road trip. Yuri Patera was recalled from the AHL. So Logan Thompson, 71%, most likely owned up. I don't know if I could really recommend, or we could recommend, picking up Yuri, hoping he gets more starts than just tonight. But I think they're shutting out someone tonight.
Yeah, I think it was 1-0 last I checked.
Yeah, they're shutting out Nashville tonight. So, I mean, maybe he gets more started out of this. Maybe not. Definitely something I'd say to watch if you're, you know, weak on goalies right now.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, he gets tonight in a feasibly what? Vegas plays on the Thursday and the Saturday. It's possible he gets one of the two starts. Like, Vegas is looking to win games, but also can't afford, if Aiden Hill is out any longer, for Logan Thompson to get, you know, burnt out as well, given that they want to go deep into the playoffs. If Yuri Patera is serviceable, Yuri Patera will play. And a 1% owned, my goodness, yeah, like, definitely. Cup contenders, defending cup champs, yeah, definitely worth owning. Other players worth mentioning for the injury report: Elias Lindholm didn't play last night. He is still considered day-to-day. I don't know if I saw whether or not it's an upper body injury, lower body injury, but it seems like he's still being monitored. With regards to Vancouver, down the center depth, I believe they are... I don't even know who to recommend as a pickup for Elias Lindholm being out. Like, you're talking about
whoever's playing with Miller and Besser, because it's not Pia Suter anymore. And then whoever's playing with Petey.
Like, maybe you're going down the well. And remember, we're looking at some Vancouver players, and I think it's Connor Garland is a name that comes to mind. Niels Höglander. But yeah, these are comfortably third line guys that are not owned up, pretty much, for reasons. And yeah, it's tough losing Elias Lindholm. This is what, a guy that started the season as top line, top power play in Calgary. This is quite a fall from grace. I guess he's almost the inverse Sean Monahan. And I guess I don't want to start something else, but this is what the Lindholm, I don't know, what's the version, the opposite of the Renaissance? The Dark Ages? I don't know. I don't know what it could be for Lance Lindholm.
The Lind Evil Times.
Lind Evil Times. Oh, Alan, you get all these going. Oh, it's great.
But then next one. Oh, this hurts. Not bad time for both Victor Hedman and Braden Point. Lightning are day-to-day, both with lower body injuries. Looks like Darren Radish is your new power play one quarterback. Looks like Paul's back on there, but Hagel looks like is the beneficiary on the power play. And then who is our new line one center? Anthony Cirelli, moves up to line one.
Duclair doesn't get any line one power play.
That, man, that stinks though. Like I really thought that it really seemed like that point Duclair Kucherov line was cooking. Yeah, now it looks like I'm assuming I would call this line two is Stamkos, Paul Duclair.
I mean, Duclair is like to say he's on fire is a severe understatement, right? This is what, 5 goals, 4 assists over the past 6 games, right? This guy's doing it, and he's not even breaking 17 minutes a night doing it, right? It kind of feasibly seems like if you gave him more run, right, he'd do
well. Even when he played for the Panthers, like when he was healthy, he was a killer asset on that top line. So he's demonstrated he can absolutely play with top end talent.
Yeah, and I think this is an interesting one, especially with, Point is the big one, I guess, right? Like, Point is the guy that...
Point and Hedy, Norris-caliber defenseman.
Absolutely. And I would say still, like, with them being out, I would expect that the value add, if you were targeting... Well, and I mean, it wouldn't be in week 24, but week 25, they have a juicy schedule, but...
Yeah.
If you're targeting any Lightning players, it definitely, I would not be deceived by the Nick Paul power play one. I would probably go Anthony Duclair and try to ride the hot hand because you're going for 4 games and you're not playing the odds over an 80-game season at this point. You want the hot player staying hot, riding hot, burning a goal or an assist, you know, in the games you're playing, hitting guys. I lean on Duclair doing that in week 24 and 25 over.
Oh no, yeah,
100%. Nick Paul. No, that's Nick Paul. But definitely on positive ends as well. In Anaheim, Trevor Zegras is expected to return tonight, and my goodness, that's got to be. Well, I mean, at least it's in during playoffs, right? But if you were holding him on your IR plus, I hope to God you got somebody else in your waiver wire that helped you produce the production.
That player might be worth more. It looks like they have Zegras projected on the third line with two guys I've never heard of until I looked at this chart.
So maybe it's one where you kind of need, if anything else, that other player, whomever you picked up, to just continue producing. And remember to drop Zegras then, if that's the big case in point. If not, remember again that obviously we're talking on a Tuesday, and Anaheim plays a bunch of games to round out this week, actually. So Anaheim wouldn't be the worst team to draw from the well. And Zegras, I mean, if he's returning tonight, go nuts. See what happens. Hopefully he does a little more on the third line to warrant, I guess, some line bumping and shuffling.
It looks like Bang Daddy Jeremy Lazan did return tonight. He has only 2 hits, but it is only halfway through the game. He's gunning for that all-time one single-season hit record.
Oh, my goodness. It hasn't been hit. He's at 327.
I thought the record was like 360-something.
It says 318? Oh, no. Robert Zvala. He got 386.
Maybe that's what it was.
386? My goodness. So how many hits does he need to register to even meet that quota?
To get 60 in the next, 10, 12 games? I mean, if anyone can do it, it's him. He's just running out of runway there.
He's got to get, 6 or 7 hits a night for that to happen. I'm not saying it isn't, but that guy's going to... Maybe just don't touch the puck anywhere near his vicinity if you're like a player, because he's finishing those checks no matter what happens. He's going to finish that check. And in other news as well, Barkov and Forsling. So this is Alexander Barkov and Gustav Forsling for the Panthers, both of whom are expected to return tonight. I assume that immediately caps... Oh, Alan, I'm blanking on the center, but I know that caps OEL's Lindell. Upside. Lindell.
I think Lindell was sliding caps, in the line one there. And then that would take Tarasenko off of power play one. But it looks like at least as a consolation prize, Tarasenko is back on line one because he was in on, was it not Barkov's goal? It was some goal with Barkov was involved in. So him being involved too kind of tells me he's back on line one.
Absolutely.
Evan Rodriguez, assisted by Barkov and Tarasenko.
We're done with the infirmary. I guess we'll just round off with some storyline trends.
Yeah, and then the only one we really have is Justus Sununen, the backup goalie for the Colorado Avalanche, signed a 2-year extension. A 2-year extension means the most likely is the backup going forward, at least for, you know, next two seasons. In his 8 starts this season, he actually has 5 wins, a .238 goals against average, .926 save percentage. So pretty far above league average this season. And in those 8 games are 2 shutouts. And I think he got the start tonight.
Whoa, that's incredible. I think he did too.
So Yeah, very serviceable. So, I mean, hopefully, sticks with the team, and then they don't burn Georgiev into the ground, at least the next couple seasons.
Who's the other guy that was starting, I guess, like, taking the starts whenever Georgiev was away? It was Ivan Prosvitov. That's who it was. Oh, wait, and I totally forgot about Pavel Francouz.
Oh, well, Francouz has been, dead.
Injured for days. Yeah. Worth noting as well, too, I would say, like, if anyone was looking to own players specifically, like, Anunin, this guy's competing with who? Georgiev, right? Georgiev is the guy that's on a, what, $3 million a year contract? So, if anything, it's interesting that Anunin, if anything, probably has free run trackway for, I mean, the Avs have done this before, right? They've signed goalies or run with goalies who have even won a cup with them, and then they said, well, thank you so much for your services, and, you know, like Grubauer,
Kemper,
right? It's just like, thank you for your services, we'll move on, we're building around our skaters.
They play zero G in real life.
I guess
it's pretty much real life. At the time they traded for Georgiev, I'm like, really, that guy? Because he was behind Shesterkin and always seemed like the lesser goalie, so I'm like, zero G in real life it is.
And I mean, if they genuinely stand a chance at winning the Central, and if not the Central, they stand a chance at winning the West outright, and would we really be surprised at that point if they could, you know, get past, you know, Boston or get past to Florida? I don't think people would blink. And so, geez, Anunin, like, this is almost a little bit of juicy tidbits, and I'm sure our dynasty guys have already
game one for the playoffs. It's Georgiev without a doubt. But definitely for the next couple seasons, this probably gives you some fantasy value for spot starts.
Yeah, I guess that wraps it for our injury report and for our storyline and trends. And Alan, you want to go into some schedule analysis?
Yeah, I mean, if we can call it a schedule, this is ridiculous. And the worst week to have playoffs, too. So Friday, there are no teams that have the Friday and Sunday off nights. Friday, there is only one game. It is Buffalo versus New Jersey. And then Sunday, there is also only one game. It's Anaheim versus Vancouver. Streamers, man, this sucks. Like, this is really tough. But I'm going with Connor Garland in Vancouver. He's right wing, 17%. He's line one with Elias Pettersson right now. And he has and looks like power play too. And then he has 4 points in his last 4. So kind of those guys juggling around the top 6. He seems like the one with the most upside. And then had to grab someone from the Ducks because they are, I think, the only team that has 3 games in 4 nights. Troy Terry on the Ducks, right wing, 35%. He's got 3 points in his last 4. Line one, and it kind of looks like power play two, but their units are really weird. But point being, he's getting power play time. And then J.J. Paterka on Buffalo. I am surprised he didn't, like, shoot to the moon in ownership. He's only 20% right now, right wing. Line one, but power play two, and he's got 4 points in his last 4 games. Yeah, he's up with Tage and Tuck right now, killing it. So hopefully, for those of us that are holding for the week, we see the fruits of that pickup. Goalies, just kind of look for weaker matchups. I mean, you really don't have anything on off nights, so if you don't have goalies starting, and you need that start, I mean, like, New York plays Arizona on Saturday, so quick. Likely gets to start there. Now, Vancouver plays Anaheim on Sunday. I think Casey DeSmith is probably still lowly owned, but I can't think of who the like backup goalie would be for Vancouver, but maybe they give that guy a start. New Jersey goalies, they're both less than 50% owned, and I know that Jersey-Toronto game tonight's turned into a shootout. They play Buffalo on Friday, so that game could tilt either way. Kaapo Kähkönen just shut out the Isles. And he's only 5% owned, but everyone's banking on Allen. And I think he was just like 30-ish%. But I think Allen got the start tonight, and that was kind of just sending someone out there to the firing range. Big Boy Bangers, Vasily Podkolzin on Vancouver, right wing, less than 1%. Guy averages about 4 to 5 hits a game. So solid source of hits for you there on an off day. Connor Clifton on Buffalo, probably like the only guy that hits on that team's defenseman, 6%. Provides some block and shot coverage too. And then Cam Fowler on the Ducks, defenseman, kind of provides light coverage across all those categories. I think he sees power play one-ish time.
I think so too.
And even Minchikov, he doesn't get any power play time at the moment. Looks like they're giving it to Zellweger.
Right.
I think I screwed that name Zellweger up.
Honestly, no caster gets to say his name very often either because he doesn't score right? that many goals.
Yeah, Zellweger. Okay. Zellweger. But that's pretty much it. Jay, this will probably be one of the shortest episodes we do this season, but I'll give it back to you.
I think it definitely will be. Oh my goodness. Yeah, we're reading through our like notes, guys, here, and it's like, okay, what about the strategies? What about the setups? What about all the ones? And it's just like none all the way down. Well, we'll give you some, guys. Okay, so obviously, let's go through week 24, Thursday through to Sunday. If you want to maximize with 3 games on 4 nights, there's only one team, and there are no teams that do the Thursday, Friday back-to-back and the Friday, Sunday off nights. The one setup that does work is the Thursday, Saturday, I guess, heavy night, as well as the Sunday off night. And that team's Anaheim, right? So think back to all those players we mentioned with Anaheim before, but I can rattle some off, and
yeah,
these are the highest owned players, and I mean, they're still poor.
Was it like, right, Frank Vetrano is probably like the highest owned guy, or McTavish, and that's it's from 80%. All like the beginning of the season, people that probably just picked him up and then just quit setting their rosters like 4 weeks in.
And Vetrano honestly is still doing shit. Like, this guy is obviously, he's worthwhile, especially with the schedule being what it is. But yeah, aside from him, it's a steep drop-off. And you're talking, what, like Troy Terry's, as we just mentioned before. Yeah, like 30-something.
But that whole first line, I'm sure, is available. Killorn, Carlson, 100%. Terry. Yeah, all those guys, you should just be able to pick up.
Like, this team is anything, just probably, like, if they were given 2 or 3 more years, maybe, and then they made a couple of trades here and there, like, they could probably develop some chemistry and be you know, possibly challenging for a wild card spot. But aside from that, like, this roster is owned where it should be, not very highly, right? And so Mason McTavish, Cam Fowler, like, I guess we go deep into the well, Allen, and go to Alex Killorn even back in the day with the throwbacks. And geez, like, aside from that, under these guys, you can probably still find some players, as in, I don't know about value, so to speak, but you can find players that are unowned and available to click add. But maybe that, honestly, listener, is what you need to be doing at this point. Remember that any player on your bench at this stage in the semifinals is useless, right? Like, you're saving them for nothing, right? If they were the difference and you had a fighting chance at any player giving an extra hit, an extra block, that could be the difference between you going out in the semis or you making it through to the big, big dance, right? So don't be afraid. If you look ahead in your schedule and you can't fit any guy, or those guys are just being benched anyway, better to play one of these quote unquote less stellar, less enthralling Anaheim Ducks players than to play no players at all. Okay, that being said, it's still a brutal week 24 week, right? So week 24 is weekend. Which teams have the Friday, Sunday off nights? None. Okay. There's no team that has both Friday and Sunday off night. All right, what about back-to-back? So what about the Thursday-Friday off night? No teams. What about the Friday-Saturday back-to-back? Okay, and there is one team, Buffalo. Buffalo's kind of a team that you really should have owned already because of the Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday setup. No other team had the Wednesday-Friday, so if you didn't get those players by then, Frank, I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's going to be Wednesday tomorrow. You better, by the time you're listening here, be scrambling on your phone to grab some Buffalo Sabres, any Buffalo Saber that's available at this point, because, again, any player playing a game is better than a player sitting on your bench. Bowen Byram 48%. Like, he's probably already gone, but.
Dude, 48% dropped. Some people dropped him. And I think, especially this week, that was really silly.
Yeah, definitely get him back up, especially for the next three games. Owen Power, mind you, Bowen Byram probably literally nuked Owen Power's, I guess, most suitable opportunities. But at the same time, he's still going to get at least 20, 21 odd minutes a night. And he gets power play two time. Sure, Owen Power hopefully does something with that. JJ Paterka, 21% was getting power play one time. He's only available on the right wing, but, you know, 21%. You need Buffalo players, if anything else is your big takeaway. And I couldn't believe when I saw it, but Jordan Greenway at 4% on the left wing was getting line one power play one time at some projected point.
Oh, man. Yeah, it looks like Greenway was practicing on line one today. That's a bummer for my Paterka stash.
Yeah, like Greenway's one of the guys, too, where he's at this point just a beneficiary of Buffalo not playing to their capped potential, right? Like Skinner, Tuck, Thompson last year were a menace, right? They were a force to be reckoned with. And Greenway, in some ways, has just, I guess, been awake while others have slumbered. Not necessarily that I'm believing in Greenway's capped ceiling, but at this point, like his floor, he gives the body, he, you know, takes the peripherals, gives you a ton. So at 4%, if he's getting line one and power play one, worth considering Jordan Greenway. Just go see. I don't even know who's playing on the Saturday, but I think the value still lies with UPL if they're playing. Obviously, on whatever goalie is on that off night is going to be the valuable goalie, because the Saturday goalie, unfortunately, is going to hold little to no fantasy value. I think they're just going to roll with UPL for Wednesday and for Friday, and that kind of kills any streaming goalie option. Just go monitor it. Just go check. If they actually end up playing, for example, off the top of my head, a Devin Levi, or I don't even know who the other
Eric Comrie
goalie they would play. Eric Comrie, right? If they ended up starting either of those guys in the Friday, I'm assuming the Friday matchup. Yeah, it's got to be the Friday matchup. I can't imagine they would play anyone else but UPL on the Wednesday, especially given who do they face. They face Ottawa. They face New Jersey. I imagine Ottawa's the far more winnable game. They probably throw in UPL for Ottawa and then leave whomever is to the Wolves for New Jersey. Oh, geez, in Toronto right afterwards, right? Yeah, so maybe New Jersey and Ottawa, they consider the winnable games. They'd roll with UPL and then whomever is left to fend for the scraps afterwards. But you don't care about that Saturday. Anyway, and then aside from that, you're really looking at singular plays, right? Because even Saturday, Sunday has no back-to-back available with no team holding that particular back-to-back. And now basically what we're going to do is we're just going to dive in, because there's only one game on Friday, one game on Sunday. We're just going to suggest some guys from those games, because that honestly is the difference in your semifinal at this point. Week 24 Friday is between Buffalo and Jersey. So Buffalo we covered already. Look through those available players. New Jersey is such... Oh, it's a desert here. Okay, so Dawson Mercer is 18% owned. Everything else above him is like 65-70% owned. So Dawson Mercer, right? Like, look for him. He's got power play two times, center right wing eligible. Eric Haula, line two, power play two. He's on the left wing. He's a sneaky good ad as well for face-off leagues, because he also, funny enough, on the left wing still takes face-offs as well. So that's kind of an interesting caveat if you were needing, I guess, face-offs in for Eric Haula. Simon Nemec, I mean, he's still on power play two, and I mean, he's at 4%. I know there was a huge hoorah about him way back in the season months ago. I don't know if I necessarily bought into it, but I do know that if there is one now for Friday, I am all in, because, again, a player playing is better than on your bench. The real value for Jersey probably holds in net. There's, as Alan mentioned, Jake Allen, Kaapo Kähkönen. I just don't know who's going to start. And if I'm looking quickly at the schedule, it seems like Jersey also is playing no back-to-back, right? So it's probably just whomever the starter is. I assume if Allen is getting the start tonight, and did they end up beating Toronto?
No, the game's still going on. Devils are up one right now.
Devils are up one, right?
What does Jake Allen have right now? He's putting up a 9-1-4 against Toronto right now.
Jeez. And I mean, honestly, like, they are They're what, 10 games left? They're not playing fantastic, but they're not eliminated from contention. So is it really unfeasible to think that the New Jersey Devils will be playing to try to make it in? I think definitely they're not like gonna give up the goose quite at this point of the season. So hell, Jake Allen, fire him up. Like they definitely need to win, if anything else, against Buffalo.
And what was that weird stat they keep throwing out, like from St. Louis? Wasn't he like second franchise all-time wins for the Blues or something? Sure.
you mean to say Marty Brodeur, St. Louis Blues legend, doesn't have more wins?
He's definitely a guy like Martin Jones. Play him before he turns into a pumpkin.
Play him before he turns into a pumpkin. Okay. Alan, I don't think we can suggest Kaapo Kakkonen.
Dude, like I said, he just shut out the Islanders, and they were absolutely a team that was looking to make the dance.
That's true. Well, okay, if anything, then listener, make sure you listen to check and see who's there. Jake Allen, Kaapo Kakkonen, whoever's going to start. You want that exposure, right? Both of these guys are available and owned compared to Buffalo on the other end. Like, you're just basically hoping that, what, Comrie
gets the Friday start or something. Yeah. Comrie or Levi. Right. I'm sure either one is super available.
Levi. Oh, I totally forgot about Levi. Yeah, so... yeah, the Devils are the team if you are needing a goalie in net. Check to see. Allen is pretty unowned at 32%. Kakkonen is definitely available at 5%. Just check and see for the Devils if you need a start or a goalie start on Friday. So the week 24 Sunday, we covered Anaheim already. Oh, geez, Allen, I totally forgot. Also, Anaheim has goalies, right?
They do, but do we want to... Who are they playing? They're playing Vancouver on Sunday, and then who do they play on Saturday? Because I don't think it's someone you want a spot start against.
They definitely don't play on Saturday, so that's...
Oh, yeah, they play the Oilers on Saturday, so yeah, pick your poison.
Yeah, this is going to be a... Oh,
now, that's the beauty of hockey, though. Either one of those games could be a trap game, and the Ducks could put up like a 40-save shutout. But I'm not... No, I would not put my playoff hopes on Lucas Dostal or John Gibson shutting out the Oilers or the Canucks.
Yeah, and should you ever, listener, be so brave and bold against Allen's better... Saudi
now, I mean, as a Hail Mary, do it. Whatever, man. If you lose, you lost either way. But yeah, I would, if I had a comfortable lead, I would not play those Ducks goalies.
It's got to be the one where it's like you're down 4, might as well be down 40.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Might as well just lose those 7 goals and go for it. Go big or
it's
go
like,
home.
It's like when Joey Decord could have like saved you in the...
the listener league?
Yeah.
So much hope, Grizz, if you're listening here. Your team is solid. Best of luck in the semis against, oh my goodness, Madel O'Connor. But, yep, anywho, yeah, your goal, you don't want to be in a situation where your goalies are needing to come through and not let in goals. These are good hockey players, and they will score against your goalie. So, definitely for Anaheim, it's going to be a tough one. Although, at the same time, goalies are relatively unknown for that, with good reason. So, if you need a spot start, even after your week 24 Friday spot start of, I guess, your Jake Allens or your Kaapo Kakkonens, and maybe you had a good experience, you got a good shutout, and you're like, I think this is the one, and I need the high-risk, high-reward return, check Anaheim on Sunday. The team they're facing, though, as Allen mentioned, is going to be a toughie. Vancouver... they don't have many streamable options because they're like Vasily Podkolzin, as Allen mentioned, is probably what you're hoping for, right? The guy that just runs around. He's 0% owned.
It's so cat coverage,
it's kind
yeah.
of incredible. He's kind of incredible.
But so, I'd say like this for like a last second Hail Mary on Sunday, this probably not a bad team to stream from. Like, it's just look at who's playing with Petey, who's playing with Miller and Besser.
Geez, I'm gonna say too. Like, who's their D1? Their D1 pairing, right? Like,
I think they moved Hronik to the second pair.
Okay, because I was gonna say like whoever pairs off with either Hronik or
Tyler Myers playing with Hughes.
And then
Zadorov is probably a decent banger.
Yeah, he hits a ton. Yeah, actually, Tyler Myers and Zadorov both are pretty okay peripherally. They kind of do what Quinn... they do what Quinn Hughes does not want to do. Get his hands dirty in the corners. Quinn Hughes gives you production with his scoring, and pretty much that's it. Like, there's... Yeah, he's not going to do anything else.
Yeah, because it looks like in the last game, DiGiuseppe was with Miller and Besser. So Pia Suter, I wouldn't touch at this point.
Yeah, Ilya Mikheyev. 2% owned.
Lafferty and Bluger, it looks like on line four.
Yeah, Lafferty got a goal last game too, right? So it seems like Lafferty's definite. Oh wow, he got 8 hits last game, Sam Lafferty. Oh wow. In 11 minutes. Man, if he keeps this pace up, he could...
there you go, another Bangs guy. I think they had quite a few just Bangs guy on that team.
Yeah, so actually, maybe on Sunday, if you need that Hail Mary... Well, I mean, obviously, listener, if you have any ads left and you are losing, like, there is no saving your ads or waiting for next week. Like, you just drop all of them at 3 a.m. on... Like, your Connor Garlands, your Nikita Zadorovs, your Sam Laffertys. You grab every single available Canuck that is streamable, right? And you hope to God the Canucks absolutely pump the Anaheim Ducks and, you know.
That's why I bet everyone's going to know the entire Vancouver Canucks roster after Sunday.
And you will remember them for better or for worse if they win you. And get they help you win and get you in the finals. You will remember them greatly, and you will curse their names forever if they were the reason you're out. It is definitely a difficult week for the streams to save you, but at the same time, you know, there's a simple path. There's no, I guess, deciding wrong. There is forgetting to set your alarm. So make sure that 2:57 alarm clock, set it. Get those guys and roll through. And yeah, we'll see you in week 25 for the, I guess, for championship week, right? Like, I hope to God many of the listeners.
Champions are semis, depending on when your playoffs are. Okay. Yeah, well, that's going to go ahead and wrap it for tonight's show. We'll park the van cab for the night. As always, we ask all you fellow Canucks and Canucks land to like, subscribe, and leave us a review on your platform of choice. You can also follow us on Twitter and YouTube. All that info is in the show notes. And if you haven't already, come join us on the Fivefold Discord, where we have over 2,500 people who you can lament with or celebrate with when you win this week. And also, if you need decisions on who to start on Saturday because all the league is playing, well, in the YouTube channel, we do this Start Saturday program live stream where you can come in and throw questions at us. Sometimes they don't always end up being sit start questions, but we answer them anyway. We do that from 11 a.m. to noon Eastern before all the game starts. Good luck and good hockey, everyone, and hopefully we'll be right here with you next week.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll pick you up later.